I'm Russ White for MSU Today. MSU alumnus Eric Qualman, better known as Equal Man, likes to empower people.
My mission, and I like to call it like our laughable goal or moonshot, whatever your favorite thing is. I like to call them laughable goals. But my laughable goal is to empower 7 billion people this century.
Equal Man does that through edutainment.
And so to empower them through, we like to entertain, educate, and empower people. So with my company, which is Equal Man, that's what we all try to do is entertain, educate, and empower people. And for lack of a better term, we're really in the edutainment business because we think you need to entertain folks first, then to educate them. And through that education, then it provides that empowerment.
There are specific tactics to help one achieve empowerment.
It's really at a high level that everyone in our mind is a superhero. And so that we're just trying to unlock that inner superhero that you have and unleash it. So that's it at a high level. But speaking more at a tactical level, how you get to there is we provide tips and tricks around how to use social media to produce your best personal brand. How do you use public speaking, not only in the offline world, but also if you're on YouTube, the difference and nuances of that. So it's really about how do you improve your public speaking. Also how to just tips and tricks around how do you get more out of your day, like time productivity. So the book I'm writing right now is all around focus. And so how do you focus on what matters most? Or what we like to say tactically is, what's the one thing, and this is said by a lot of folks, this is why we do the research, but kind of combining it all together, the best way to put it and phrase it is, what's the one thing that if I do it well will make everything else either easier or not necessary to do? And so we talk about other tactical stuff, getting kind of deeper in the weeds is, that you should never have a goal. A lot of people, when I talk to them, their goal is, well, I've got 120 emails. I want to get that down to 10 or down to zero. Your goal. Like that you should be working on output, not what we call that throughput. Throughput's like you're texting, you're tweeting, you're emailing, you're working hard. But at the end of the day, you haven't moved the ball forward. You haven't produced that output. Meaning that if you want to be a dress designer, that you're not answering email, you're actually designing dresses. Or if you want to write a screenplay, it's not that you're hoping to write a screenplay and answer an email. It's that you're actually writing words for that screenplay every day. So hopefully that makes sense. That was kind of all over the map, but I wanted to take it from high level that everyone's a superhero. We want to unlock and unleash it for you, that we help you. It's up to you to do it. But we help you get the key to do that. And then in order to do that, then we give you those tactical tips that matter in this digital age.
Equal Man is well known for his bestseller Socialnomics. Now, though, he's finding he has to write about focus.
Ironically, if you think about Socialnomics, very high level in that book was like, okay, guys, you need to understand that this is how social media will change the way we live and do business. And now the full journey for me is the reason I'm writing a book on focus is because some people step too far into the technology and are walking around like zombies with their phones in their face. And so now it's kind of like, okay, we've got to like pull it back a little bit, everybody. Let's pull it back and really focus on what matters most. Technology is great, but you can't replace face-to-face. So we're going to show you how to focus in the balance between the offline and the online. Or as Gary Vaynerchuk likes to say, one of my friends, and we like to use it as well, is that we live in the Jetsons era, but it's those that act like the Flintstones and the Jetsons that win.
Qualman says social media is here to stay, even if it does become less of an overwhelming force in our lives over time.
I think, in my mind, social media is always going to be there. We're social animals by nature. And if you look at the research for people that, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy and get beyond that, it's like the number one thing we all strive for and crave is community, a sense of community. So that's why I love being a part of the Michigan State community. And every time I can physically be there, it's so much different than doing it remote. Just like this podcast, so awesome. This is great. And it's great when time and distance are an issue, utilizing technology, whether it's a phone call, whether it's Skype. Wonderful. But it's always better if you and I were together face to face because it's that sense of community. So you'll always have social media because of that, but it needs to be utilized when time and distance are an issue. It's not there to replace the coffees, the lunches, the face to face. It's there when time and distance are an issue. So it'll always be there. I think the importance of it will kind of, for lack of a better word, importance might not be the best word, but it'll become, if you think about just the progressions, whether it's the telephone, whether it's email, is that it becomes more part of our life, but it's not overwhelming it like it is when it first comes out. So I think we're kind of on the downhill slope of that in terms of just like, okay, I get it. I don't need to check. This is a good example. So maybe your wife or your husband was checking Facebook 2 hours a day when it first came out. Now they might just check it a couple times per week for like 5 minutes. And so it just becomes part, a little part, less overwhelming, if that makes sense. So it always played an important role because we're social animals. If you look at research, people that live to be 100, the number one commonality that you see is that they still have a big social set of friends.
Eric Qualman is on the cover of the newly designed Michigan State University alumni magazine, now titled Spartan.
Well, it means the world to me because Michigan State's meant so much to me. So that just, I mean, it should be me trying to put everyone at Michigan State on the cover, if that makes any sense, because I will never be able to give back enough to what Michigan State's done for me and continues to do for me. So my hope is that the relationship's win-win as much as possible, but I'll always know that I have more to give on that side. So it's definitely humbling, to say the least. It's a huge honor because there's so many great people that deserve to be on the cover. And so, like I said, I'd love to put every Michigan State person on the cover at some point in my mind, but no, it's just amazing.
The Spartan issue, featuring Equal Man on the cover, focuses on entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship has become somewhat of a buzzword that means different things to different people. Qualman thinks entrepreneurship is a mindset more than anything else.
What it means to me is I think the biggest misnomer of entrepreneurship is that you're kind of this person going it alone. And so there's several iterations of entrepreneurship. There's also intrapreneurship. So to me, they're one and the same animal. So for a lot of people, their best role is actually going to be inside a large organization or inside a large business or a nonprofit, that's the best fit for them. And they're going to have the most success doing that and impact the world in the greatest capability with that role. Then there's the other, which you see on the news, like the entrepreneur, like, oh, this is the person that went alone and then they became a multi-billionaire, is that we somewhat have to, kind of for lack of a better term, slow the roll on that a little bit, because sometimes that sends the wrong message to a lot of young folks out there that think they have to be an entrepreneur and that they have to be successful within 5 years, and if they're not, they're a big failure. Because if you look at the data, over 10 years, only 2% of entrepreneurs actually are still around. They're surviving. It's not even that they're thriving, that they're still, their business still exists. So for us, we've been really fortunate to have such a long run, and we're going to continue and hopefully blow it out and make it gigantic. But to me, entrepreneurship is more of a mindset, not like a physical description of it has to be XYZ, but there's so many different forms. It's just, in my mind, how are you going to be creative, whether that's internal, external, or on your own, solopreneurship or small company, or you're inside a big company, is that it's really about, do you have the creative mindset to just kind of change the world in a positive way? That's the way that I view it.
Some people think a person is born with entrepreneurial skills, while others think these skills can be learned and honed.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually take a somewhat controversial stance on that, because there's a lot of people that say, you're either born with it. There's a lot of people out there that I will not mention, but a lot of people know who they are, that they'll say, if you're an entrepreneur, you'd never work for a big company. That's not true. So I take the opposite of that. And just looking at my own personal growth, is that I worked for both large and small companies before I ventured out, quote unquote, on my own. And I was just talking with this person that's very high up at MailChimp, and they worked at big companies and small companies, then did their own thing, sold their company, and now they're back at a small but growing massively company when you think about MailChimp. So everyone has their own journey. So I scoff at, or I challenge the folks that are out there saying, oh, entrepreneurs, they would never in their DNA work for a big company. That's not true. I've got two examples that I show there. One, my own personal example. I got hundreds of examples that's not necessarily true at all. And looking back historically, that's not true at all. So the short answer to your question is that entrepreneurs are made they're not born.
Equal Man thinks it's important that we all stay curious.
I don't know if it's necessarily new, but I think the emphasis is new, not only in our educational systems. The good educational systems, you're seeing this. Obviously, not all of them embrace this, but it's really just at a simplest level, be curious. So whether you call it a lifelong learner, it's just being curious is a huge key to success. And not only being curious, but the second step really separates most is actually following up on that curiosity. An idea is not nearly as valuable as the execution. And you'll hear some people say that ideas are worthless. I don't necessarily say that's true. I just do believe that the execution, more times than not, is more important than the idea.
Qualman says it's important that we always have a firm destination in mind.
But be flexible in your path on how you get there. You're going to get these hurdles. You're going to get these challenges. And as a pioneer, you're going to get pushback. But that pushback is the signal that you're pioneering. And it's really about being flexible in your path, but firm in your destination. So if you look at like Apollo 11, when they were going to the moon in 1969, their guidance systems, they were on track only 3% of the time. So 97% of the time, they're trying to get back to course. And so they were able to do that, and they hit their moonshot, and they got to their firm destination, but their path was very flexible on how they actually got to the moon. So that's what I try to impress upon all young people, that it's really about, if you can dream it, you can do it. It's not going to be a straight path. It's going to be a curved one. There's going to be challenges and hurdles. And as a pioneer, you're going to get pushback, but that's a signal that you're pioneering. And so you'll eventually make your way back and make it happen.
When Eric Qualman and I first spoke over 7 years ago, he correctly predicted the rise of mobile driving social and social driving mobile. Now he's excited about some interesting developments he sees in our future.
My hope is that we'll have mobile voting soon. And so that you vote for the President of the United States on your mobile device. And so you go from less than 50% voting participation to 90%. So that's a true democracy. This is probably looking out 10 years. And to kind of take that string and take it to like, what is this guy talking about? But if you think about that, just kind of a crazy thought, is if you can vote for everything on your phone, then do you even need senators and reps? Because they're historically there to travel to Washington to place a vote. But if you can vote remotely from your device, you don't need a rep to physically go place a vote. So that's just getting kind of way out there. That one gets me excited. I'm excited about self-driving cargo ships, self-driving trucks, self-driving cars, because of all the ramifications, and saves traffic. It saves lives, most importantly. It gives you time back to do stuff. And then you think about the social media, is that if you have that time in the car, you can stay better connected because now you're not driving. You can actually socially connect if you want. You can write that screenplay. You just have a lot more time back on your hands. Social media, I'm very hopeful that we still don't have social search down. Social search meaning that if I'm trying to research how to do a last will and testament, if I'm trying to research a new car now that I have my second baby, is I want to know which one of my friends have already done the research on how to do a last will and testament, or which cars I should consider, which SUVs I should consider now that I have two kids. And so that, again, gives me time back, because if 10 of my friends have already done the research, that's really what Socionomics is all about, then I don't have to do the research. And then I can use that time that I've saved to actually better the world, whether that's spending time with the family, whether donating my time to charity. It's really about that level. And then one more piece that's kind of out there is that the problem with social right now is that it takes time out of your actual real life. So if you think about Instagram, if I have to take a picture of my food while I'm having a great meal with you, Russ, and I take a picture, I've got to put the filter on, and then I send it, that takes maybe 4 minutes. That interrupts the regular flow of what we're having in that moment. And so my hope is, if you think about some of these contact lenses that actually not only have facial recognition but can record everything, is that if it records my life, and this sends the 30 seconds that matter each day to the grandparents. Let's say this records a special moment of waving to the kids on the bus, that it's not interrupting my life, that it's just recording that, and then it curates that 30 seconds and then sends it to the grandparents, and I didn't have to do anything. Everyone wins in that situation.
For more on MSU alumnus Eric Qualman, also known as Equal Man, visit equalman.com and look for Eric on the cover of the fall 2017 edition of Spartan, Michigan State University's alumni magazine. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.